And joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair this morning, Brad, is Rabbi David Small. He's from Emmanuel Synagogue. And Rabbi Small, good morning and welcome to Brad
good
and
Good morning,
Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be back.
Hey.
And good morning to our listeners.
And you just got back from you know where.
Oh, yes. We went on a trip to Israel a couple weeks ago, and we're looking forward to the Festival of Passover coming up, which I hope I'm going to get to talk to you
now,
about.
Now, your daughter, I always think, whenever I think of you, I think of your daughter, who was in the military.
She did do her service in the IDF. That's correct.
Now,
she's in reserves now. Now she's studying. She's a graduate student now.
How long was she in? And they have to serve, don't they?
Well, yeah. There's mandatory service, but she was a volunteer. She and a number of young people do that. So she and her friends moved to Israel and volunteered to go into the military. And so she did 2 years. The guys do 3 years. The women do 2 years. And then they do reserve service also
periodically. Dan and I talk about too bad that here in the United States and other places, Israel seems to have it together when it comes to protecting the people in the country. They just seem to get it together.
Well, one thing I would say is because such a large percentage of the population serves in the military, that means a few things. It means that everybody is contributing, and there is something called national service for people who, for various reasons, religious and otherwise, don't want to go into the military. They have other opportunities for national service. So the notion of service to the broader society over time is big, but it also means that when people talk about war, when they talk about campaigns, it's not somebody else's kid, it's your own kid. And it means that as devoted as Israelis must be by necessity to military preparedness and to defending their borders, they don't think lightly or speak lightly about military options, because the boots on the grounds are going to be your friends, your kids, and therefore it's much closer to home.
It's just something, I don't know what it is, it's hard for me to explain, but I've got so much respect and always have had for Israel. Here is this little country with all of these people around you, and by God, you just stand up to them and never back down.
One thing that impresses me lately is the way in which Israel has been reaching out to other countries to establish peacetime positive bonds through technology and through different means that help people in their daily lives. So, for example, throughout Africa, Israel has been sharing water technology, how to do agriculture without wasting a lot of water, how to grow crops in arid places, how to make the most of water and not waste it, how to recycle and clean water. And most of all right now, which is a huge groundbreaking thing, they have advanced the technology for taking seawater, salt water, and turning it into fresh sweet water.
Wow.
So they went from being a net importer of water 25 years ago to being an exporter of water today. So, for example, the refugees from the Syrian civil war that are encamped in Jordan, and there's, I think, more than 500,000, right?
Right.
The water they're getting is pumped from Israel, free of charge.
How about
because
that?
The Israelis are turning seawater into fresh water.
Well, what is
and
that?
And that technology is going around the world. In India, state of California has a contract with Israel for turning seawater into fresh water to deal with their drought as well.
Well, how, those other countries must welcome Israel when they didn't used to.
That's correct. Things are changing slowly, but they're changing. And the Israelis really, really want peaceful ties with the countries around them and in the region. And they believe that by bringing these technologies to these countries and helping them help their own people live better lives, that they not only become more secure, but the whole region and the world can become a more peaceful place, even while they stand up really firmly against those countries like Iran that want to export terrorism and destabilize other countries.
Rabbi Small, Passover begins on March 30th. Explain to our audience what Passover is all about.
Well, Passover is a festival of freedom. It celebrates the ancient liberation from slavery in Egypt when the ancient Hebrews were enslaved by the pharaohs, and Moses led them out through the Sea of Reeds, and they went to freedom. And the way it's observed, it very much is about family and friends. The major observance of Passover is called the Seder. It's a special evening gathering around the table. A lot of food is served. Wine or grape juice is there are 4 cups of wine or grape juice that are drunk over the night. And the story of the Exodus is told, but we also relate it to today. And we say, how are we limited in our lives today? How can we get free from the habits that constrain us? How are other people still living lives of oppression and difficulty? How can we devote ourselves to help others as well? And one of the refrains in the Seder is, all who are hungry, come in and eat. And so Passover is a time that we donate food and money to feed the poor, and that we try and extend ourselves to others who are in need.
Okay, Rabbi Smol.
How long does it last?
Just hold on a second. We're coming up on a break, but stick through the break if you would, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Terrific.
I'd love to.
Very good. Brad, back with us, Rabbi David Smol, Emmanuel Synagogue, West Hartford. Passover starts on Friday, and Rabbi Smol, we were talking about Passover includes giving back. Continue talking about that.
Oh, sure. There's some special things that we do at the Seder that attune us to this. One of them is we, in addition to eating matzah, which is a flat, unrisen bread like a cracker, but there are lots of good things. There's soup and salads and food and main courses and desserts. It's a wonderful meal. It's a feast. But we eat bitter herb. We usually
bitter herb.
Bitter herb, like horseradish. And the idea is it's really you're supposed to feel the bitterness and make your eyes water. It does clean out the sinuses. But but the point of eating bitter herbs is to both remember the bitterness of slavery, but also to be attuned to the suffering of other people who still aren't free, who are oppressed, whether it's by poverty or by lack of opportunity, and to open our hearts to be sensitive to the situation of others. So that we're both recounting our own story of our people and our heritage, but at the same time, we're opening our eyes to say, how can we help others? In the Bible, the Israelites were commanded, do not oppress the Egyptians, for you were guests in their house. Now, that is quite a revision of what happened. We were slaves in Egypt. Mm-hmm. But the point is to be forgiving and humane to people when you're in a position to do so. And that's very relevant today in our own country.
Absolutely.
We want to protect our borders. We want to keep kids safe in school. And we want to work on counterterrorism. But oppressing and terrorizing immigrants and people who come from other countries is not the way to do that. We should remember, and to me, this is a Passover message. Don't oppress the stranger, for you are strangers in Egypt. My grandparents were immigrants. A lot of people in this country can look back to when our families came from somewhere else. So we should understand that when we look around to people who come from other places and seem a little bit foreign, and do what we can to make them feel at home in our country. That's my own opinion and one of the interpretations of Passover. Another one is we eat greens because Passover comes at springtime. I know it hasn't seemed like spring yet, but it's coming. And in olden times, all winter, people didn't have greens. It wasn't like today when you get everything shipped in or you have greenhouses. So Passover was one of the first opportunities to have greens. Today we have usually people just have a little sprig of parsley. But I advise people, have a lot of greens right now. Have a big salad. In my kitchen, we have Brussels sprouts and broccoli and collards and spinach.
Wow. And, all right.
And all that stuff. So make the table really green. And that's really healthy. Today, when we talk about getting food to people who don't have, it's not enough to just ship cans of food, but helping people make healthy choices and have fresh food, even people who are underprivileged and need help, who are on nutritional assistance, what they eat and getting healthy, fresh food, that's possible for everybody today.
We have about a minute left. I know you're involved with Food Share, so talk about that.
Oh, I'm very proud of that organization. It's a wonderful organization. It is the biggest supplier in Hartford County for all of the food banks, where people go who need an extra helping hand, and also is involved in educating about the need to create nutrition security for every family, you know, that kids don't have to go to school hungry, and to do what we can to make sure that everybody gets lifted up and that the food that they eat is healthy. So this year, for part of Feeding the Hungry, I'm going to be making contribution to Food Share. It's a wonderful organization.
That's terrific. Great. That's fabulous.
Rabbi Small, thank you very much for coming in and reminding our audience about Passover and what it all means, and also talking about some of our other topics
and
today.
All that you do.
Thank you.
I know what you do. Yeah. It's fabulous.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. And I know that Passover and Easter always come at the same time of year. I want to wish a happy Easter to all of our listeners that will be observing Easter, as well as happy Passover. And may it be a season of peace and renewal for all of us and in our country and in the world.
Thank you. God bless you.